الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أذن للذين يقاتلون بأنهم ظلموا وإن الله على نصرهم لقدير. الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم بغير حق إلا أن يقولوا ربنا الله. ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لهدمت صوامع وبيع وصلوات ومساجد يذكر فيها اسم الله كثيرا ولينصرن الله من ينصره إن الله لقوي عزيز. الذين إن مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر ولله عاقبة الأمور. صدق الله العظيم. In our previous session, we were talking about the fitnas that the Ummah had to challenge after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We specifically talked about three of them, or three categories, I should say. One, those who rejected to pay the zakah. Number two, those who claimed the prophethood after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number three, those who totally turned away from Islam and went back to kufr wa ayyazu billah. We talked in some detail about the reason for Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in to fight those people. And we talked about the difference of aqeedah between those groups and the ummah on the mainstream, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Going back in general to talk in general about that part of the history, of course, it's so detailed that if we just talk about the details of these events that Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in went through after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll be just talking about these events for years. And you will figure out what I'm trying to say. Once inshallah, today we will talk in brief about some of the things they had to face. Keep in mind the challenges that Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in were facing from all around the world. And you will be surprised to hear that from every town they were hearing that there are people who have turned away from Islam, and not only turned away from Islam, they are also preparing an army to fight against the Muslims in Medina Munawwarah. When the two superpowers, the Roman and the Persians, heard about it, and they also heard that Muslims are getting stronger during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were afraid that this might become one of the powers in the world. So they already had in their mind to take care of the Muslim Ummah, so that they won't grow up that big, that one day they will think about confronting the superpowers of the world. That was in their mind already. When they heard that many people have turned away from Islam, and at the same time, within about two months, there were at least five people who claimed the prophethood. Within the period of five people get up and they claim the prophethood. And each of them has a large number of followers. And each of them have a target, and that is the Muslim Ummah in Medina Munawwara. And Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in every day are getting the news of some new groups getting up against the Muslims. Some new groups planning to attack the Muslims. Every day they are getting some of these news. This is within 19 days they got enough news that they thought almost from every town there is a group that is willing to attack Medina Munawwara. Other than those five people who are claiming the prophethood. These are Murtadeen who turned away from Islam. And in that situation, under these circumstances, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes up on the minbar. This is the third day of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death. He gets up on the minbar and he announces that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before his death prepared an army to be sent to fight against the Roman Empire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepared an army to go and fight against the Roman Empire in Palestine under the leadership of 18 years old boy Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu announced that I want every person that was assigned to go in that battle to go and get ready. And he assigned a place that was called Juruf, just in the suburbs of Medina Munawwara. He said, I want everyone to get ready and get together in the place of Juruf. All the Sahaba are looking at each other. What's going on? After hearing all of that news with all of these enemies that are taking us from here so close by and from our own country, this army had 3,000 people. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is going to send 3,000 warriors, and they were selected warriors of the Muslim Ummah. Of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sending that army to fight against the Roman Empire, so he had to select some chosen people for that. So these 3,000 people were asked to get ready and start heading towards Mu'tah, towards Palestine, to fight the Roman Empire. All the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam tried to explain to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr, please, this is not the time for that. Let's take care of these people who are turning away from Islam, who are attacking Medina Munawwara. Their armies are on the way. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I can't do that. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sending the army, and he had prepared this army, there is no way for any Khalifa or any person in the world to postpone the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said the situation have changed. Use the wisdom. He said the wisdom is to fulfill the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Finally, when they realized that Abu Bakr is not going to change his mind, So finally, they went with one request to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr. All the people respected Usama radiallahu anhu because he's Hibbu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is loved by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also selected him as the commander in chief for the army. But now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not here with us. So therefore, we request. He's only 18 years old. He's a young fellow. Let's assign someone else on his place. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was so upset to hear this. He said, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assigns someone, can I take that position from the person? If this person wants, he can take my position, but I can never take his position because he's assigned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were just like scattered sheep. Scattered kettles. No one to take care of them. Standing in a rainy night in the middle of the desert that none of them knows which direction to go. About to make some major mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us at that time with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. If it wasn't his firm decisions to hold strongly to the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were lost. If it wasn't because of Abu Bakr, we were lost. We would have made big mistakes and went into totally different directions. It was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who was able to hold us together at the time. Finally, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sent that army out. And of course, those people's iman was so strong. Their belief was so strong that these weapons or anything else in the world could never stand before their iman and their aqidah. We got to remember one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have blessed the human beings with many abilities. Through our abilities, we are able to do a lot of things in the world. We invented a lot of different type of things in the world. But we got to remember one thing. That the ability that's within the human being, that human being can never put it in anything else. Within our soul. Within our souls. The ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in the human being is such that nothing can have that type of ability in the world. And once the human being is willing to use that ability, then he can achieve whatever he like in this universe, in this world. And this human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has blessed him with the power, with the strength, that nothing can stop him from achieving his goals, or at least working towards his goals, as long as the human being himself have determined to do so. And then, once we are using that ability from within us, then there is nothing in the world. Because all of these powers, weapons, lights, electricity, whatever is there, is man-made. And these things can never have the ability of a human being. They are going to make some robots. But I'm sure that there won't be a woman who will be willing to marry a robot. Or a man who will be looking for something like this. Of course, we don't have. The world is not empty of people who have nonsense and we might call them a bunch of trash in the form of human beings. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala labels them in Quran, kal an'ami bal hum adal, like human beings, like animals, in fact worse. There are people of that kind also in the world. And unfortunately, today you can think of the worst thing and you find that human beings are discussing about doing something like that.
But the ability that's within the human being can never be in anything else in the world.
And Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in used that ability for their aqeedah. And once the aqeedah came part of their lives, it was part of their lives, and it was coming from within them. It's this very simple example to understand the point. Is the strategy in the army. If you read anything about the army and about, if you have been for the training of the army, there is a strategy in the army that if you have your enemy and you see the enemy is very weak and small in number, yet never surround the enemy from all around. Leave some game for that enemy to be able to run away. Never surround your enemy from all around. Because that's the time when he feels that he's totally surrounded, there is no way for him to do anything to escape from the situation except to use the abilities within him. And once he will start using that, he might die but end up killing 10 of them also. One person will kill 10 and then he will die. He will use the ability within him. That's the time when he feels I have to get it out. Use every power I have in my life. He would use it. He may not use his mind at that time, but use the ability that he has within him, and he will end up taking 10 lives before you are able to take care of him. Same thing. A hungry person. A person who's hungry. We know that a person who's starving to death will do anything to save his life and to get something that can go in his mouth and thus can make him survive. He will use his abilities at that time. This is the same man who throughout his life was saying that I'm never able to work. I can never work. When he sees himself in that situation, he will end up getting something for his family and for himself. This is the time when we use our abilities. That when the person from within us, we feel that now at this time I need something very strongly. And we feel that if we won't get it, a big danger is there for our lives. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, they took their iman as one of these important things of their lives. In fact, the life wasn't important, iman was more important. So now whatever we do for our stomach, when we get hungry, and we like to get some food and grab something from somewhere. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, at the time of Salah, they used to feel that they are hungry for Salah. They are thirsty for Salah. I had to do my Salah. There is no power in the world that will stop me from doing my Salah. And at every occasion you find that their iman to them was just like other natural calls to us. A person has to go to the bathroom. And sometimes we might have seen the situation and faced the situation when you really, it's emergency, you must go and use the bathroom. Irrespective who tries to stop you from using the bathroom at that time, you will find the place to use it. We got to stop the car. I had an appointment. I did not even stop my father. My phone is ringing. I would not even pick up the phone. But as soon as that natural call comes, I have to respond to that call. And I have to stop the car irrespective of what type of emergency I'm in. I have to stop the car on the side and use the bathroom and fulfill the natural call, because the natural calls are such that we can never confront them. Same thing if we make iman as part of our nature, and this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that this deen is a natural deen. It's part of our nature if we keep it in our nature. This is how Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam used to do it. It was part of their nature. And they used to feel it. Just like lunchtime we feel I'm hungry. Dinner time I have to get something. Same thing, they used to feel that this is the time for my iman and to prove my deen. To prove my iman and to strengthen my iman and in fact to spread my deen. It was a feeling from within them.
made them go, 60 of them confronting 60,000, and still they would take over. We will talk about those details very soon, inshallah, as we will be talking about what happened after they took over the Murtadeen. So I was mentioning Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He sent those Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in to confront the Roman Empire. And now from within the Muslims, there are people who turned away from Islam and planning to attack Medina Munawwara. Very quickly, I would like to go through, we will skip all the details of small groups that were attacking Medina Munawwara and having their armies to attack Medina Munawwara. With the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in were able to take over all of those groups. But very quickly, I would like to go through some names of people who claimed the prophethood. The main one that we all know about, because that was the largest group, was Musaylama al-Kadhdhab. We will talk, inshallah, in detail about that group and how Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in confronted that group and the results of that jihad. We will talk about it, inshallah, in our next session. But before Musaylama al-Kadhdhab, there was another person who claimed the prophethood. His name was Al-Aswad al-Ansi. Al-Aswad al-Ansi is the first person who claimed the prophethood. He claimed the prophethood during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the 10th year of Hijrah. In fact, within few months, he took over most of the part of Yemen. He was from Yemen originally. And within few months, he was able to take over most of the part of Yemen and he defeated most of the Muslim armies in Yemen and that side. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of that person. And one of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, Fayroz al-Daylami radiyallahu anhu, he killed Aswad al-Ansi, and as soon as he was killed, all of his group was scattered and Muslims took over again. 5 days before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the masjid and he said to Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in that Alhamdulillah, today one of my companions have killed Al-Aswad al-Ansi and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken care of this part. The official news came to Medina Munawwara 10 days after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death. That was miraculous that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed by the wahi that that person had been killed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before his death, he said, and before these days, before he made that announcement, he said to Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in one of the mornings, that I have seen a dream. That I have two bracelets in my hands. And I did not like having bracelets in my hands. So Jibreel alayhi salam was standing there and he told me that just blow on them. And as soon as I blew on these bracelets, they flew away. They said, فَمَا أَوَّلْتَهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What does this mean? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means there will be two people who will have a large group claiming the prophethood and my ummah will take care of those people. So one of them was Aswad al-Ansi and the second was Musaylama al-Kadhdhab. So after Aswad al-Ansi was taken care of, another woman came up from the same side of Yemen. She saw the room is empty for her and she has a space over there to claim the prophethood, and they heard the stories of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is being so much respected by Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, and an orphan who had nothing in his life and lost his parents in the early age, and this orphan is ruling the whole Arabia, and now even the Roman and the Persian empires are afraid of his name. So that everyone is thinking, let's have the same thing. It's easy. So this woman came up. Her name was Sajjah. And she claimed to be the prophet. People approached her and they said to her, how can you be a prophet? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La nabiyya ba'di, there can't be any prophet after me. She said, that's true. But he said, there won't be La nabiyya, which means male prophet. He did not say La nabiyya.
This is not female prophet. He said there won't be any male prophets, but I'm a female prophet. Find an excuse for herself. Anyway, people told her that within your area there is another person who's claiming the prophethood also. Who was that person? Musaylamah al-Kadhdhab, within the same area. So now they were about to have a war between these two people who are claiming the prophethood. Musaylamah al-Kadhdhab, he thought it's best for us to get together at this point and first thing take care of the Muslims. And then we'll take care of each other. So he approached Sajjah, and after having some conversation, they both agrees, okay, since you are a prophet and I'm a prophet too, let's both get married. And Musaylamah and Sajjah got married. So now the prophet man and prophet female. The husband is a prophet, my wife is a prophet. Walayazubillah. But after some time, Sajjah realized that this is all fake, and she became Muslim in Islam. Mm-hmm. There was another person who was also very strong. His name was Tulayha. Tulayha, when he also claimed the prophethood, and the reason for that was, once he was traveling with his girl, they were in the desert, and this is just at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's death. They are in the desert. Everyone is thirsty in his army. And he had a guess that there should be some water over that direction. And he told the people that if you go to that direction, you'll find some water there. They went there and they found the water. He said, see, this is a miracle. And I'm a prophet. So he also claimed the prophethood. Tulayha. But after some time, he also realized that, and of course the person who's claiming, he knows. He also came into Islam. Basically the reason for him to come into Islam was, he was having a war against the Muslims. And Khalid bin al-Walid radiallahu anhu was in with his army. Commander-in-Chief for the Muslim army and fighting against Tulayha, and everyone knew that no one can confirm this army where there is Khalid bin al-Walid radiallahu anhu. Inshallah, we'll talk about him in our next sessions. So they were fighting Khalid bin al-Walid radiallahu anhu, so one of the people from his army went to him, and Tulayha, of course, he was afraid, he had heard about Khalid bin al-Walid. So he took a sheet over him and he said, there is a revelation about to come to me, so I'm waiting for the revelation. Therefore, I can't come to the battlefield. You people go ahead and fight. And he's sitting over there with covering himself with a sheet, waiting for the revelation. So a person went to him. Did the revelation come yet? No, not yet. I'm still waiting. So he went back and started fighting, and continues fighting. After some time, he realized that the Muslim army is now getting stronger and is coming further, and we are about to just be destroyed. And he went back to him and he said, Did Jibreel come yet? He said, no, Jibreel is not here yet. And he went to him a couple of times. And after that he realized, he went to him and said, is Jibreel here yet? No, Jibreel is not here yet. Forget about Jibreel, I'm going away. Jibreel is not going to have lost his way, or he might have gone to somewhere else, I'm going away. And when that person went and he announced in the battlefield that Jibreel is not coming and this person have lost his prophethood, let's all run away from the battlefield. So everyone started running away, and finally Tulayha became Muslim. And then most of the people in his army also became Muslims. So these are some of the people who claimed the prophethood after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I said, the only strong group that was remained and that really fought the Muslims, and in which Muslims lost a lot of lives, that was the cause for Umar radiallahu anhu to think that we are losing a lot of Huffaz and we must compile the Quran so that people at least will have it in the form of a book. And then he approached Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to compile the Quran. Inshallah, we will talk about those details in our next session.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Sirat al-Mustaqeem. Mm-hmm. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us hidayah and keep us on Sirat al-Mustaqeem. Guide us, our children and our families to follow the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'iril muslimina wal muslimat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.